Returning then to the first paragraph again of the Last Judgment, we have seen that it is a divinely appointed future judgment. It is secondly a divine judgment in the person of Jesus Christ. It says, "Our God have appointed a day wherein he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ, to whom all power and judgment is given of the Father." And it says later on in the paragraph that we shall appear before the tribunal of Christ. Of Christ. Now, let's be clear. It is a divine judgment. It's a judgment of God. God have appointed a day wherein he will judge. It's a divine judgment. God is the judge. And the Bible teaches us. "Rejoice, O young man," Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. God will bring thee into judgment. It's a divine judgment. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14. "For God shall bring every work into judgment." Romans 2, verse 2. "We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth." Romans 2, verse 3. "Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same yourself, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" And that's a common expression with Paul, the judgment of God. It's a divine judgment. That God is the judge is not only the clear understanding of Scripture and the teaching of all the Bible, we can deduce that it must be a divine judgment by the very nature of the judgment itself. I mean, who alone has the power to raise all the dead? Bring all the bodies and bring everybody before the judgment seat. Who has the power to do that? Only God can do that. It has to be a divine judgment. And then he alone has the knowledge of the human heart and of the thoughts of men. He alone knows them in all his omniscience. And obviously that can't be left to a mere angel to judge the souls and the thoughts of men. The angels don't know our thoughts. They might pick up one or two thoughts by the kind of way that we're behaving, but they don't know our deepest thoughts. Only God can read the heart. So he alone can bring men from the resurrection. He alone can know the hearts of men. He alone can know all the deeds of men and weigh them up justly and righteously. He alone can open the books of conscience and memory. So very clearly, it has to be a judgment of God. No one else could do it. But in the Bible, the divine person revealed to be this judge is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the divines recognize that God will judge men by Jesus Christ, by his Son. And this is clear in Scripture, that Christ is the judge, that this judgment and power has been delegated to him as the mediator, as the God-man. God hath appointed a day wherein he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ, to whom all power and judgment is given of the Father. And this is abundantly taught in Scripture. For example, in Matthew 25, the Lord Jesus frequently taught this. But just to give you one example, Matthew 25, verse 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he judges them according to their works. I was hungry, you give me meat. I was thirsty, you give me drink." So on. And he separates them, and some are condemned and sent away, and others are rewarded. Enter thou, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. They come before Christ. As the divine say, before the tribunal of Christ. He's the judge. Matthew 25. Then John 5. Verses 22 and 23, "The Father judgeth no man." This is what Jesus said. He has committed all judgment onto the Son. It's the Son of God who has all the judgment work to do. The Father has delegated that to His Son. His Son will be the one on the great white throne. It's delegated to Him. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Verse 27, John 5, have given Him authority to execute judgment, because He is the Son of Man. Then Acts 10, verse 42, He commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. So there it is again, Jesus Christ, He's ordained of God to be the judge. He hath appointed a day, Acts 17, in which He, that is God, will judge the world in righteousness by that man. Everybody will see a man. It's Christ, and He's the judge. The one who was raised from the dead, He's the judge. Romans 2, verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to My gospel. Romans 14, verses 9 and 10, to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the living and dead. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Do you see how He identifies the person? He doesn't just say God. There are times He says the judgment of God. But whenever He actually comes to look at that tribunal, Paul is very clear to tell us that it is Christ who's on the seat. It's the Son of God. It's the second person in the Godhead. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes. That's the Lord Jesus, His second coming, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. So you'll notice there, it's in the body, the judgment, and it's a judgment of everyone, and on the judgment seat is Christ. And on I could go. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing. It's the Son of God who's going to appear, and He is appearing as the judge. Now, you might well ask, why is it the Son of God who takes the leading role in this? Why not the Father and why not the Holy Spirit? Now, they do have roles, especially the Holy Spirit, but it is the Son of God who's on the seat, and He is the one who is visible and the one who is seen. And we have to ask, why should the judgment of the world be delivered to Him? Especially, who appears in humanity. I don't know if you've ever thought about that question. Why is it Christ is the judge? Well, I think there are very good reasons why he is to be the judge of all the quick and the dead. And there are several reasons, and I'll leave them with you. And with this, we'll close tonight. First of all, it's His reward. It's His great reward for coming into the world for us sinners, for undergoing all the abuse, for dying on the cross for our sins. It's His reward. It's part of His glory. Do you remember how the Bible says the sufferings and the glory that should follow? Well, He did the sufferings. He did the sufferings faithfully, and all that was involved in that and the atonement for our sins upon the cross, He did that ever so faithfully, and God has given Him the glory. He has rewarded Him. And part of that glory and reward is to judge the world. That's His glory. He has glory now at the right hand of the Father, but not everybody sees Him at the right hand of the Father. There's still people blaspheming Him and rejecting Him and rebelling against Him, and He hasn't got His full glory yet. But when He judges the world and everybody sees Him, He will have the glory. He'll have all the glory. That's his reward. And that's why he's there. He's the one who died on the cross. And then secondly, it's for his church. He is the judge as the head of the body. And while he is judging righteously, he is judging his people righteously, and he's judging his people's enemies righteously, he is there as the great high priest and the prophet and the king of his people. He's the one who's seen to his people that they're dealt with justly and righteously. And there are no questions asked and no objections raised. It's really part of their redemption. The great day of redemption isn't complete until that tribunal is over and finished. And so the application of redemption isn't ultimately brought to its end until the last judgment. And he has to be in that seat to see that its application comes to them in all its completeness. So he's there as our Savior. It's important that our Savior is the judge. And God has delegated this to him for his people that he died for, so that they will be judged righteously and brought into ultimate eternal life, and their enemies and the enemies of God judged righteously, that they may be justly condemned. So he is close at hand at the judgment. Their salvation, in a sense, is not complete until the judgment, and that's the day of perfection and completion, the day of entering fully in body and soul into the joy of the Lord. And he is there for them to judge the world and to publicly vindicate his people. But then thirdly, this is also a very important reason, he is to judge the world justly because he was judged by the world unjustly. He was unjustly judged. He was unjustly condemned. The Bible tells us about it in the Gospels. For example, Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 and the verses 60 through to 64. We have a description of this judgment that the Lord was before. Verse 60, 14 of Gospel of Mark. The high priest stood up in the midst, this is in the midst of the Sanhedrin, and asked Jesus, because they're frustrated, can't get the witnesses, can't get them to agree, can't get Jesus condemned. And so, do you answer nothing? What is it which they witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And then he quotes from Daniel, I think it's Daniel chapter 7, and he says, ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Now, he quotes that because that's a judgment prophecy. The Son of Man judging, coming as judge. And here he stands before this judge, and he's condemned on what he says, yes, I am the Son of God. And the proof of it is, you'll see me coming to judge the world. And of course, the priest thinks this is all blasphemy. This is nonsense. This is terrible. And he rends his clothes. And he says, we don't need any more witnesses. Take them all out. He's spoken blasphemy. We've heard it from his own lips. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. The most solemn court in Israel at that time. And the most solemn judge, the high priest. And there Jesus is condemned by his own confession that he is the Son of God who will come in the judgment. And that is why he must be the judge at the end of the world. It's necessary to his vindication as the Son of God As the one who confessed to be the Son of God, it is necessary so that all the world that condemned him and crucified him will see that truly he is the Son of God who judges them. And so one day that high priest is going to stand before the Lord Jesus. And that's why there'll be great distress and weeping and wailing, because it will dawn on them he is the judge of all the earth. He is Christ, the righteous one. So it's necessary that he be the judge to the vindication of God's righteousness, yes, but also to the vindication that Christ is the righteous one. And so we'll leave it there then for tonight.